The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 395 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. Thanks so much for tuning in. New shows for you every Monday here on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. Keep those five-star reviews coming there. And you can follow me on Twitter and comment on anything you hear during the show. I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT. Once again, I'll break down every NFL game from Sunday. I'll take you around the league like nobody else. Big injury for the Bengals this weekend, just when it looked like they were on a roll. Gronk returned to the Patriots lineup. LeSean McCoy heard a lot of boos as he returned to the city of brotherly love. A lot to get to in the NFL. Derrick Henry won the Heisman Trophy. I'm not surprised. Alabama carries a lot of weight, as does the SEC. But I thought you could make a strong case for Christian McCaffrey and Deshaun Watson. I'll recap the voting there. Plus, Pete Rose got some news from Major League Baseball, but it wasn't what the Hits King wanted to hear. All of those stories coming up right here on episode number 395 of the Sports Report. Spent a little weekend in Atlantic City. Gotta tell you, struggled early. None of my numbers were coming up, but I stuck with it. Only one trip to the ATM machine, I might add. And eventually, after midnight, my numbers finally started to come up. Started to hit some of those zeros. Love to split the zeros when I'm playing roulette. The green numbers. And finally, they came up late Saturday night, early Sunday, depending on your perspective. But it's good to be back. Huge NFL and college football segments coming up. But I want to start with this Pete Rose news because he's been one of the most polarizing figures in all of sports for a long, long time. If you want to stir up a good debate, just bring up the name Pete Rose when you're hanging out with a group of sports fans at your local watering hole and watch them go at it. Today, we learned that Commissioner Rob Manfred denied Rose's plea for reinstatement. We knew something was coming before the end of the year, and finally we get the news on December 14th. Rose was banned for life back in 1989. Man, I'm getting old. Of course, you know the deal. He's betting on games. Here's what Commissioner Manfred said in a letter. Quote, Mr. Rose's public and private comments, including his initial admission in 2004, provide me with little confidence that he has a mature understanding of his wrongful conduct, that he has accepted full responsibility for it, or that he understands the damage he has caused. End quote. Major League Baseball has made it very, very clear that the one thing you absolutely cannot do is bet on the game. End of story. And if you go into a locker room, you'll see the signs across Major League Baseball. You can't bet on baseball. Not to mention, for almost 15 years, Rose denied that he bet on the game. It wasn't until 2004 that he finally admitted it when he had a book coming out. He admitted it in his autobiography, but he was banned all the way back in 89. What I found noteworthy about the commissioner's letter is he clarified that just because Rose can't work in Major League Baseball does not mean that he should be ineligible for the Hall of Fame. Manfred said that that debate must take place in a different forum. And I agree 100%, and I've said this for many, many years. I have no problem if you want to put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame because of what he did on the field. 4,256 hits. Rookie of the Year, he won an MVP in 73, he won 3 batting titles, 17 All-Star Game appearances as a player, he's a career 300 hitter. If you look at that resume, he is a lock Hall of Fame baseball player. So put him in. I don't have an issue with that, but I do agree with the commissioner, he should not be working in the game. And that's what was determined today in the letter. What is your take on Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose? Let me know on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. Do you agree with Commissioner Manfred denying Rose's attempt for reinstatement? Let me know on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Today's show is brought to you by iHome. The holiday season is here, and iHome has perfect gift ideas for all your family members and friends. From the portable color-changing IBT74, you got to take a look at that, to the 100% waterproof IBN6, iHome has all of your Bluetooth needs covered. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines great value and exceptional quality. iHome also offers a full line of quality headphones and earbuds for the fitness guru, the traveler, or just hanging out at home and relaxing. Go to iHomeAudio.com. Look at all their great products like the IBN6 or the IBT74. You can also check out their apps and accessories. iHome is the number one brand in digital speakers. The sound quality cannot be beat. That's iHomeAudio.com. Do your holiday shopping with iHome. iHomeAudio.com. Back on episode 395 of the Sports Report, I'm Paul Roberts. Thanks so much for tuning in. So we start with Pete Rose, and now we go heavy into the NFL. We'll begin in Houston. Texans, Patriots, prime time. I loved New England in this spot. I really, really did. I just could not see this team losing 3 in a row, especially with the news that Rob Gronkowski was back. That is huge for Tom Brady and the Patriots offense. We're talking about one of the best tight ends to ever play the game. Not just in the modern era, ever to play. He had one of the big plays in this game, a 1-yard touchdown catch that put New England up 11, gave them some breathing room with 14 seconds left in the first half, gave them some more momentum going into the locker room. The Pats rolled in this one 27-6. Brady was 22-30, 226, 2 scores. Gronk had 4 catches for 87 yards. The Patriots' defense was big here too. They held Houston to 7 first downs. 7, not and a half, in the entire game. 189 total yards for the Texans, and their quarterback Brian Hoyer suffered his second concussion of the year. He was sacked 5 times. New England had 6 sacks in the game. They were all over the quarterback. Patriots are now 11-2. If anyone was pressing the panic button, and I don't know why you would, but if you were, you can stop. Patriots clinched a playoff berth, and they now hold the number one seed with 3 games remaining. They are the top seed right now in the AFC. And that is because Cincinnati and Denver both lost. And not only did the Bengals lose the game, they lost their quarterback. Awful news for Cincinnati, a squad that had been playing so well. Andy Dalton breaks his right thumb in the first quarter, making a tackle after an interception on a shovel pass. Enter A.J. McCarron, the 5th-round pick. You remember him at Alabama, right? Dalton had been the NFL's top-rated passer. He's now out, and they're relying on a quarterback with no experience. McCarron missed all of last year because he had a sore shoulder. This could be a crushing blow for the Bengals. McCarron did come in and complete a 66-yard touchdown pass to A.J. Green. His final numbers don't look bad. 22 of 32, 280 yards, 2 touchdowns. The problem was the 2 interceptions for McCarron, including a 23-yard pick 6 by William Gay. That made it 23-7 Pittsburgh, and the Steelers were never threatened. They won it 33-20 on the road in a feisty AFC North matchup. You saw the pushing and shoving going on before this one even kicked off. Pittsburgh's offense has been a big story all year. They have put up 30 or more points in 5 consecutive games. That is a franchise record. And you think of all the great Steelers teams over the years. Big Ben passed for 282. He was 30 of 39. A fantasy people don't like it because he didn't have any touchdown passes, one interception. Overall, 8-5 now for the Steelers. Cincinnati is 10-3. The Bengals also lost their tight end, Tyler Eifert, to a concussion in the first half, and he has 12 touchdown catches this season. One of the best tight ends. He's been one of the best receivers overall in the NFL this year. So a brutal day for Cincinnati. Andy Dalton hurt. Tyler Eifert suffers a concussion. Rough day if you're a Bengals fan. Denver also slips to 10-3. The Broncos are one game behind New England. They lost at home to the Raiders 15-12. I did not see this one coming. I was shocked by the play calling. Brock Osweiler attempted 51 passes. 51. And it wasn't like they were playing catch up either. You know, sometimes your team gets behind big and then the offensive coordinator, the head coach is going to scrap the running game because you have to catch up. That wasn't the case for Denver. The Broncos were up 12-0 at halftime. They were up 12-9 after the third quarter. They were in front. I didn't see the need for 51 pass attempts for Osweiler. Ronnie Hillman only got 12 carries. Denver ran it 21 times for only 34 yards. I mean, they just could not run the football. Maybe that's why they gave up on it. Neither offense played well here. Oakland finished with 126 total yards, only 27 on the ground, and one at Denver. You figure it out. If I told you going in that the Raiders are going to have 126 total yards and they're going to win, you would have said, Paul, what time did happy hour start? Osweiler threw for 308. Here is the issue. When you settle for field goals, you usually lose in the NFL. It's about getting sevens, not threes. And they also had some pivotal drops. Demaryius Thomas, a couple of gigantic drops. One for a touchdown, another for a first down late in the game. He also lost a fumble. Vernon Davis had a key drop at Oakland's 42-yard line on a 4th-and-5 play in the fourth quarter. The kicker, Brandon McManus, hit the upright on a 49-yard field goal in the fourth quarter. That would have tied it up. Very, very sloppy performance by one of the better teams in the AFC. And what a day on the defensive side for Khalil Mack. 5 sacks in the second half, one of them for a safety. Derek Carr found an open Michael Rivera for the go-ahead 16-yard touchdown pass early in the fourth quarter. 15-12 was the final score. The Raiders had negative yards at halftime and won. Minus 12 at halftime and won the game. They beat the Broncos for the first time in 4 years. Denver, once again, without Peyton Manning. They were also without C.J. Anderson. Now, Peyton has missed 4 games here. My opinion, and nothing against Brock, I believe this all along, Peyton should get another chance to start when he's healthy. And I've heard a lot of media bobbleheads flip-flop on this one. They were drooling over Brock, and now they lose a game, and it's, oh, now they need to go back to Peyton. I haven't changed at all. I am sticking with Peyton. If he's healthy, I think he deserves another shot. You look at the back of the football card, look at that Hall of Fame resume, I would give him another shot. But this one really surprised me. Oakland wins it by 3. The hottest team in the AFC is Kansas City. Andy Reid's club won its 7th in a row, 10-3 in a pitcher's duel at home on a rainy day versus San Diego. It certainly wasn't pretty. You're not going to get a lot of style points for this. And Big Red, Andy Reid, talked about that post game. But a win is a win. And Kansas City is now 8-5. From 1-5 to 8-5, they are tied with the Steelers and the Jets. So looking at that wild card picture in the AFC, we have 3 teams fighting for 2 spots. Someone is going to get left out between the Steelers, the Jets, and the Chiefs. San Diego had a chance to tie this game. First, with 10 minutes left, Malcolm Floyd dropped a bomb that could have gone for a touchdown right in his hands. And then in the closing seconds, the Chargers melted down with a couple of penalties, a delay of game, a false start, after they got all the way down to the 1 yard line. Phillip Rivers, who was playing with the flu, his final pass was from the 11 after those penalties. That went incomplete. He was looking for Danny Woodhead. Kansas City survives to keep the streak alive. The only touchdown came late in the second quarter on a slant, a short pass that Albert Wilson took 44 yards to the house. The Chiefs outrushed the Chargers 150-44. San Diego now 3-10. Alex Smith actually threw an interception. We never see this from him. It's his first interception after a team record 312 attempts. But Kansas City held on in the rain. Dee Ford had his first 3 sacks of the year. He was playing for the injured Justin Houston. That's a big loss for Kansas City. It is incredible to me that even without Jamaal Charles, Kansas City keeps on winning. I mean, when you start to run down the best backs in the league, Charles is on that list. He's out, done for the year, and they're winning game after game after game. I mentioned the Jets are 8-5. They got there by stomping on the Titans 30-8. New York scored on 5 of its first 6 possessions. They put this one away early. My personal favorite was the 69-yard touchdown pass to a completely uncovered Brandon Marshall. Have you seen this highlight? What was Tennessee doing? I don't know of any defense, cover 2, cover 3, cover 0, a 3-4, a 4-3. I don't know of any defense in a book that leads a receiver wide open, uncovered. And it's Brandon Marshall. He's a big dude. Find him out there. I guess that's why you're 3-10. The Titans' only score came on a trick play, a 41-yard pass from Antonio Andrews to the cornerback, Marcus Mariota. 30-8 the final, a rout for the Jets, 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 Jets. The bearded one, Ryan Fitzpatrick, threw 3 touchdowns. Chris Ivory ran for 100 yards. This is their first 3-game win streak since 2011. Surprised me to see that. Tells you how the Jets have struggled. The Bills needed a win to stay within a game of the Jets, the Steelers, and the Chiefs, but it did not happen in Philadelphia. A lot of pregame hype with Sean McCoy coming up short against his former team. So much drama last week between McCoy and Chip Kelly. I called it Shakegate. From Watergate to Deflategate to Shakegate. Kelly said that he would shake McCoy's hand, and he admitted that when the trade went down this offseason, it was not handled properly. LeSean, however, said, no thanks. Didn't want to talk to Chip, didn't want to shake his hand, nothing. He did give owner Jeffrey Lurie a nice hug before the game. At the end of the game, he fired his helmet in the locker room. He refused to speak to the media. Pretty immature stuff, if you ask me. The Eagles won the game 23-20. There were some big plays in the passing game. Sammy Watkins caught a 47-yard touchdown pass early on. Nelson Aguilar, the rookie out of USC, answered with a 53-yard touchdown catch from Sam Bradford. Eagles led 20-10 in the third quarter. Buffalo fought back, tied the game up entering the fourth. And then the play of the game, Bradford found his tight end, Zach Ertz, on what was a pick play, but it went uncalled. A 3rd-and-3 play that went for 41 yards, and it was fun to watch Ertz rumble over the Bills' defense. That set up a go-ahead 30-yard field goal by Caleb Sturgis with 3.5 minutes to play, and it held up. Tyrod Taylor, who's played very, very well this season, and he's limited his interceptions, he threw a pick on a deep ball. Ed Reynolds came up to ice the game. It was overthrown by a mile. Just a bad throw there by Tyrod Taylor. He passed for 268, Bradford 247. McCoy was held to 74 yards on 20 carries. He did nothing in the second half of this game. He did have 4 catches for 35 yards, but no touchdowns for McCoy. And then he acted like a little kid firing his helmet and refusing to speak to the media. DeMarco Murray got 11 carries. He was limited to 34 yards. He looks like a $40 million bust right now. Ryan Matthews came back, and he had more carries than Murray did. Darren Sproles is in that rotation, too. Murray really is just another guy. And this is a man who last year led the entire league in rushing yards when he was with the Cowboys. As for the Bills, two turnovers, 15 penalties for 100 yards. 15. Can't win on the road like that. I thought McCoy should have stood up and faced the music, spoke to reporters like a true professional after the game. No excuses for that. The Eagles and the Redskins are still tied atop the NFC East. They are 6-7. Washington won at Chicago 24-21. The 9-game road losing streak is finally over for Washington. They led 21-7 after Jordan Reed's touchdown catch midway through the third quarter. What a bright future he has at tight end. He had 9 catches in this one for 120 yards. But Kirk Cousins threw an interception later in that third quarter. That seemed to give Chicago some life. It set up the Bears on a short field. They tied it up on a 7-yard run by Matt Forte, who really had a quiet day. He only rushed for 45 yards in this game. Redskins retook the lead on a 47-yard field goal by Dustin Hopkins with 1 minute into the fourth quarter. Once again, it came down to Robbie Gould, and this is a veteran kicker. He's been around the block. He missed 2 field goals last week versus San Francisco. This week, he shanked a 50-yarder to tie the game with under 2 minutes to go. Gould used to be so reliable. He used to be a money kicker. Not lately. He's been bad. Chicago falls to 5-8, 1-6 at home. Jay Cutler threw for 315 and a couple of scores. Cousins was 24-31, 300 yards, and a touchdown. The Cowboys were only 1 game back in the division going into Sunday. Dallas, however, is now 2 back with 3 to play after a 28-7 loss at Green Bay. Cowboys were hanging around down only 7, and then James Starks broke off a 30-yard touchdown run up the gut with under 5 minutes remaining. Ball game. Thanks for coming. Drive home safely. Starks scored 2 touchdowns. Eddie Lacy back in the mix. He rumbled for a 124 and a score. Green Bay now 9-4, 1 game ahead of Minnesota. Mike McCarthy is now calling plays. They made that change this past week, and it worked. 29 first downs, 435 total yards for Green Bay. Great balance for the pack. They ran for 230 yards. They passed for 205. Green Bay held the rock for nearly 38 minutes. Meanwhile, Matt Castle, just 13-29, 114 yards and a pick. Dez Bryant, only 1 catch for 9 yards. It's real simple math. No quarterback equals no success in this league. Dallas is 4-9. It's been a nightmare season. The Panthers don't have to worry about their quarterback play. Cam Newton threw for 265, 3 touchdowns. He did it on just 21 attempts. 38-0, a blowout over the Falcons. What is going on with Atlanta? Carolina is now 13-0. The Panthers clinched a first-round bye. They outgained Atlanta by almost 200 yards. They forced 4 turnovers. Ted Ginn Jr. showed off his wheels again. 2 long touchdown catches, including a 74-yarder. The defense had 5 sacks. This was a behind-the-woodshed special. Falcons have lost 6 straight. They've gone from 5-0 to 6-7. Unbelievable. The Seahawks, like the Panthers, are on fire right now. They destroyed the Ravens 35-6 in Baltimore to move to 8-5. Russell Wilson tossed, count them, 5 more TDs, tying his career high. He has 16 in his last 4 games. Doug Baldwin caught 3 of them versus the Ravens. Tyler Lockett reeled in 2. The bad news is rookie Thomas Rawls broke his ankle in the first quarter. He is done. Marshawn Lynch missed his 4th straight game, so they are very thin at running back. Seattle's won 6-7. They are tied with Minnesota for the top wild card spot. The Seahawks are not a team that you want to see right now. They have turned the corner. The Buccaneers' playoff chances took a big hit with a 24-17 loss at home to the Saints. The Saints, who came in at 4-8. New Orleans had lost 4 in a row. Tampa Bay was 6-6. This is a game the Bucs absolutely needed to have. And now they're 2 back with 3 to go. Drew Brees threw 2 touchdown passes to Marcus Colston. Those two have been hooking up for a long, long time. Brees tied Peyton Manning for most career 300-yard games with 93. How crazy is that? Brees went 31 of 41, 312 yards, no interceptions. Saints went up 14-0, and then late in the third, they put together a 10-play drive capped by Tim Hightower's 3-yard run. That made it 24-10. Jameis Winston only threw for a 182 in this game, 1 touchdown. Bucs defense could not get off the field. New Orleans 12 of 17 on third down. Time of possession, 37 minutes to 23 in the Saints' favor. I actually picked the Colts to win at Jacksonville, and they led 13-9 at halftime. I wasn't feeling bad, and then the wheels fell off big time. The Jags outscored Indy 42-3 in the second half for a 51-16 victory. 51 for Jacksonville? Allen Hurns had an 80-yard touchdown catch. Rashad Green took a punt, 73 yards to the house. They scored in all 3 phases. Blake Bortles had 3 touchdown passes. He also ran for a score on their final play. Listen to this. The Colts had won 16 straight AFC South games. That's the longest divisional streak of all time. It is now over. Jacksonville 5-8. And that's only 1 game behind Indianapolis and Houston in the South. Just an awful division. Matt Hasselbeck left with a rib injury. Charlie Whitehurst came in. He was 2 of 8 with an interception. So he completed 2 passes to his team and 1 to the other team. Denard Robinson replaced TJ Yeldon, who left the game on crutches. But the Jags still posted 50 on the Colts. Ouch. Johnny Goofball was back at quarterback for Cleveland. Browns beat the 49ers 24-10, ending a 7-game losing skid. Did you see Manziel on the sideline after he threw a pick? Banging his head against the tablet a handful of times. They all use these tablets now on the sideline, and he's banging his head against it. I understand being frustrated. It's all right. You're going to be annoyed. You're going to be ticked off sometimes. Very competitive game. A lot of pressure. But seriously, dude, why are you hitting yourself in the head with a tablet? Maturity is the word that I keep coming back to with Johnny Manziel. Overall, he played well versus San Francisco. He was 21-31, 270, a touchdown. And Cleveland helped him out by rushing for 230 yards. When you can run like that, it sets up the play-action pass. It makes a quarterback's job a lot easier when you have an effective ground game. Did you know the Browns had not won a game in December since 2012? 3 years ago. They are 3-10. The 49ers are 4-9. And finally, the Disappointment Bowl, Detroit at St. Louis. Two teams who haven't come close to expectations. The Rams ended a 5-game losing streak with a 21-14 win. Todd Gurley ran for 140 and 2 touchdowns. Golden Tate had a couple of touchdown catches for the Lions there, 4-9. Calvin Johnson was held to 1 catch. Who would have thunk it? St. Louis, 5-8. And that is week 14 in the NFL. The only divisions that are still up for grabs, in my opinion, are the two pathetic ones, the NFC East and the AFC South, where the leaders are 6-7. They're not even 500, and they're in first place. And then you have the NFC North, with Green Bay 1 up on Minnesota, with 3 games to play. Back to the AFC South for a second. Houston's at Indianapolis. That's a big game this Sunday. They are tied right now. The Colts won the first meeting, 27-20. Your thoughts on week 14 in the NFL are always welcome on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. That's my handle on Twitter, the Sports RPT. Is Cincinnati done without Andy Dalton? And are you back on board with the Patriots now that Gronk's back? They get a win. Another question I'll throw out. When Peyton Manning is healthy, should he be the starter again? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Always appreciate your feedback there. This is episode number 395 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on The Grizz. That's grizzlyproductions.tv with you every Monday. And you can follow me on Twitter, I mentioned, at TheSportsRPT. You can also listen to this show for free in the podcast section of iTunes. Keep those five-star reviews coming. It helps to promote the show on iTunes. To the Heisman Trophy, the 81st Heisman goes to Alabama workhorse Derrick Henry. He had 1,832 points. Christian McCaffrey second in the voting, 1,539 points, and Deshaun Watson was third with 1,165. I thought Oklahoma's quarterback Baker Mayfield was snubbed. I thought he should have at least been invited to New York. Henry won the voting in five of the six regions. McCaffrey took the far west, which isn't a surprise, a Stanford guy. Henry broke a record set by Herschel Walker, broke the SEC record, 1,986 yards this season for the 240-pound junior. He also tied the SEC record for touchdowns with 23, so a big, big season. Henry is the first running back to win the Heisman since 2009 when Mark Ingram of the Tide took home the award. Henry set a school record 339 carries, including 90 in Alabama's last two games. I mean, they're just giving it to him over and over and over again. As for McCaffrey, he was a more versatile player. I thought you could make a strong case for McCaffrey. He broke Barry Sanders' NCAA record for all-purpose yards. He was huge in the return game for Stanford. He also caught 41 passes. He also threw a couple touchdowns, and he's only a sophomore. The Cardinal did not make the college football playoffs. That may have hurt him, and I'm sure a lot of voters on the East Coast did not see nearly as much of him as they did Henry, just because of the time of the games. Watson is the quarterback of an undefeated, number one ranked team, and usually that is good enough to win the Heisman. We know they tend to go to the quarterback. He only came in third. He's also a sophomore. Watson's a dual threat QB, completed nearly 70% of his passes, 30 touchdowns. He also rushed for 90 or more yards six times this season. The 11 interceptions probably hurt him, and for whatever reason, Clemson's just one of those schools that does not get as much national love. Probably not as much as it deserves. People always expect the Tigers to lose a big game, a winnable game, or get upset along the way. And this year, it did not happen. They went 13-0, but Watson comes in third in the Heisman voting. I have no beef with Henry winning the Heisman. I'm wondering if you do. Who do you think should have won it this year? Henry, McCaffrey, Watson. Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT, TheSportsRPT on Twitter. So you can comment about Pete Rose. I asked a bunch of NFL questions and also the Heisman. Who do you think should have won? Maybe you don't have a problem with Derrick Henry from Alabama after all of those carries. 90 rushing attempts in the last two games. Man, oh man. Give the guy a break. This has been episode number 395 of the Sports Report. We give you 30 to 40 minutes, high energy, fast pace, opinionated sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. Try to be both informative and entertaining every Monday. You can listen in the podcast section of iTunes and, of course, on The Grizz, that is grizzlyproductions.tv. Hope all of you have a great week. I will talk to you again next Monday. Thanks so much for listening and spreading the word about The Sports Report, whether it's the podcast or my Twitter feed, which is at TheSportsRPT. Thanks a lot. This is episode 395. I'm Paul Roberts on grizzlyproductions.tv.